The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, pour out your Spirit upon us. Guide us into right thinking. Open our hearts to your grace and truth. Help us, Lord, to perceive and then to keep a holy Lent. We ask it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, a story broke that Ted Turner mocked employees who had come to work at CNN with ashes on their foreheads because they had attended an Ash Wednesday service. Granted, this is somewhat strange, this practice that we gather tonight to participate in. We put ashes on our foreheads, and words are said to us, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We come together tonight to remember our mortality while in the midst of living. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, which is a season of penitence and fasting amidst a preparation for joy and the celebration of Easter. Reminded of death in the midst of life, reminded of penitence and fasting, yet because of the joy of the resurrection, Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent with these strange contradictions remind us of the strange contradiction of Christianity. At the heart of our faith is a conundrum, two opposing truths that seem contradictory. Let me ask you to think about this question for a moment. Are you worthy? The Christian answer is both yes and no. So much is made in modern psychology, in schools, with our children, and in popular culture of the need for a high self-esteem, an inner sense of self-worth. Sometimes children receive from their parents that they are not good enough, not worthy. Some people spend their whole lives trying to prove their worth through success and achievements because of this. Lack of self-worth can be a cause of anxiety and depression, perhaps even contribute to someone contemplating suicide. What is the value of human life? What is the value of a human soul? What is your worth? The Christian answer is profound. You are priceless, of greater worth than anything in the universe. Indeed, our faith teaches us that we are worth more than the entire universe. The worth of the human soul is beyond measure because God forfeited the most valuable, priceless treasure that has ever existed, his one and only Son. Jesus suffered, died, experienced separation from God for the rescue of your soul. That means you're worthy. You are precious, of the highest possible value of anything in the universe. You are cherished by God, loved beyond measure. God's esteem for you, the depths of his love for you, cannot be fathomed. You are worth more than the very life of the Son of God. You are worthy. Do you know this? Do you truly believe this? In the depth of your being? This is the essence of faith, believing that God has made you worthy. And yet, that's not the whole story. You are not worthy. Within the human heart lies the seed of rebellion. We're given everything by God, life, breath, the ability to think, free will. God gave us everything and designed us to flourish in a relationship of worship with him, putting him at the center of our lives. And yet, within my heart and within yours and every human being lies a rebellion. We reject God's rights. We disrespect him. We disobey him. We deceive ourselves and rationalize our behavior, all to get what we want. We live self-centeredly, fixated on self, and in doing so, rebel against God. We make ourselves Lord and forget the true Lord of our souls, who gave us life. We are not worthy. It is the height of hubris to think that we are worthy of God's love. As Paul quotes from the Psalms in Romans, there is no one righteous, not even one. We are not living as we should. You know this, don't you? What human being could possibly, honestly, look at his heart or her heart, knowing every thought, every word spoken, and every action taken, and possibly think that they have done right by God? We may do some good, but aren't even the good things we do coming from mixed motives? We give of ourselves to others, we help others, in part because it makes us feel good, and in part because it makes us look good in the eyes of others. Moses was chosen for a special relationship with God. He went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments and dwell with God, and the glory of God descended on that mountain, and Moses was with the glory of God on that mountain for many days. It was said of Moses that he was the most humble man on earth. Remember, it's almost comical at the scene at the burning bush. When Moses keeps arguing with God, he says, in effect, "I can't do this, God. I'm not up to it. I'm not worthy. Please send someone else." Moses had, after all, killed an Egyptian. At the heart of the gospel message, at the core of Jesus' teaching, was a call to repent. Repent means to turn around, to turn from one way of living and to take another path. It also means to have a change of mind and outlook. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus' entire message is summed up when he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus knew we need to turn from the way we were living. We need to change. Jesus' teachings makes this clear as well. He wasn't walking around first century Palestine saying to people, "You're fine. All is well. You're worthy." Rather, there was anguish. He says, woe to you who stray from God. He warns us that even those who call him Lord with their lips in this life may not be guaranteed entrance into heaven. He warns us not to be counted among the goats who ignored the needs of the Lord Jesus Christ present in the person who was sick, hungry, or in prison. Jesus clearly calls us to repent and change. He clearly taught that we are not worthy. Do you realize the depth of your waywardness, drifting into self-justification and a self-serving attitude? Do you realize how easily we make it all about me? Are you aware of your self-deception, tricking yourself into forgetting the darkness within? Does it seem scary to speak this way? None of us truly does realize the depth of our depravity. We are not righteous. We are not worthy. We need to heed Jesus' call to repent. In the gospel reading today, we need to heed that warning to put our hearts in the right place, to put our treasure not in the things of this life and this earth, but in heaven. We need to turn. In the Old Testament reading, Joel is warning the people of his time to repent as well. He says, even now, turn to the Lord. He says, don't go through the outward religious motions of rending your garments, but deep within you, at the center of your lives, rend your hearts. In other words, let your hearts be convicted and broken because of how far you have strayed from the love of God. As Jesus says to the churches in Revelation, remember your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Ash Wednesday is a call to remember these truths, to remember that we are not worthy, that we are but dust, and to dust we shall return. We are not living rightly as we should. No, we need time in self-reflection. We need to take time to ponder our need of God. We need spiritual disciplines to train our hearts, to condition our hearts to be in a place that is receptive to what God wants to do. We need to surrender our smugness, our self-righteousness, our belief that we're right, and in humility, humbly, honestly, look within, slow down for a moment, and contemplate the horror within that is the great abyss of our souls apart from God. There are two kinds of repentance for the Christian. The first is the one-time repentance. This is at the heart of conversion. This is what it means to turn from one road of living life apart from God and make it your intention now to live life differently, to live life for God, loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. This is a one-time repentance. This is what we promise and what we renew at baptism and confirmation. But there's a second kind of repentance. This is the daily repentance. Just because we vow that it is our intention to follow Christ at baptism and confirmation does not mean that we will then automatically do so at every moment and every action of our lives. For most of us anyway, God does not simply zap us with the Holy Spirit in that moment and purify our hearts so that we're 100% always able to live perfectly into that intention. Rather, it is a process, and it is essential that the Holy Spirit be present in that process. But that process of our growth in Christlikeness tends to only progress as far as we allow it, as far as we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit within. This is where daily repentance comes in. We still sin, we still deceive ourselves and blow it, and act in our selfishness, and rather than out of love for God and for others. And from those daily moments of sin, we must repent. We must confess our wrongs and seek God's help to turn from those ways of living to live from Him. That is, we must repent. This repenting involves taking action to change. It's not simply a matter of feeling bad, and it's not a matter of willpower. It is a matter of training, of putting oneself in the right places that will transform the heart, so that you will, with the work of the Holy Spirit, gradually become the kind of person who naturally tends to not do that sin. In making the direct decision to practice a spiritual discipline, you enter into training. Put yourself in a place to allow God to work on the state of your soul. This is God's work, not yours. It is our job to bring ourselves to God in spiritual disciplines and daily repentance. It's God's job to transform us. It's the same in many things in life. I could have all the willpower in the world and desire to become a great virtuoso concert pianist, but unless I take lessons, practice, and train to be such a musician, it isn't going to happen. I could have all the desire and will in the world to run a marathon tomorrow, but without training my body, it will not happen. I could will to do better by God, but unless I make the conscious decision and effort to open my heart to Him for transformation, I will not grow and change. This is where the spiritual disciplines come in. I deny myself in fasting to train myself to not simply impulsively act first to meet my own needs, but rather stop and consider other needs. I read Scripture to hear from God and to train my mind to think about God, to dwell upon the goodness and love of God in my life. I pray to remember that I need God's help, that I am not all sufficient. I am not God. And I serve others, reminding myself to not just act in self-interest. All of these disciplines could be done without having our hearts in it. But when we do them prayerfully, seeking the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, they become transformative. And we acknowledge our unworthiness and our need of God. This is putting ourselves in a place to allow the Spirit of God to work in us. This is putting ourselves in a state of receptivity and openness to God. This is central to what the season of Lent is all about. The season of Lent is a reminder to us that we are not worthy, that we need to be changed. Need to come to God with a humble, repentant heart and let Him transform us. A season of penitence and fasting helps us remember our mortality, our need of God for eternal life, and our need of God to transform our hearts from the inside out. So which is it? Are we worthy or are we not? How can we possibly claim to be worthy when we know the waywardness of our hearts and the need for repentance? Lent reminds us we are not worthy. But on the other hand, how could we not be of incredible worth since the very Son of God gave His life for us? This great tension of Christianity is that both are true. You are not worthy. At the same time, the great wonder of the universe is that you are worthy. The key to unlocking this enigma is that our worth does not come from our efforts, from our achievements, from anything we do. Our worth comes from outside of us. We are worthy for who we are, imperfect as we are, because God created us, because God loves us beyond measure, because we are His children, created in His image. Children that He will not let go into waywardness. He loves us so much, like that father of the prodigal son. He waits eagerly for us to return to Him. All the grit, all the discipline, all the penitence, confession, and fasting in the world will not make us worthy. We don't earn God's favor or prove our worth. We're worthy not because we are great, but because God is great. We are worthy because God makes us so. We are worthy, and as we begin the journey today through Lent to Holy Week, Good Friday, the cross, and Easter, we're reminded in the midst of our confession, repentance, and spiritual disciplines that the impetus driving it all, even our desire to repent, our desire to seek to cooperate with God, to enter into self-denial, it's all prompted and propelled forward by the great mystery of eternity, the vast ocean of God's love for us. God loves us so, more than we could conceive or possibly know. We are worthy. You are worthy. May the value that God places in us prompt us to seek to grow in daily repentance and spiritual disciplines so that we may become more like He is, beings filled with love. To Him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.